Okay, yeah, I don't know if Kendall did that on purpose or not, but hopefully we're in 1 Peter. We'll keep going through with our New Testament overview. Okay, chapter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. I'll come to alien here in a little bit. I guess aliens do exist. I have had this verse used on me one time to try to show that they were aliens. I said, you would really benefit from a Bible study. but I'll start with the slow pitch here. Who's the author of the letter? Ooh. I thought I gave us an easy one. We're shy, it's okay. Kevin says, always the Holy Spirit. You know, if you don't want to be wrong, you know. Holy Spirit! That's correct. Yep. Yep, Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that makes it clear. Now, here's an interesting question. Any clues as to where the author was at the time of the writing? Your first hint is, it's not in the two verses we read, and in the last chapter. But if you had the chance to read through 1 Peter like Kendall's got in the bulletin, or have you ever thought about it before, do we have any clues here as to where maybe Peter was when he wrote the letter? Let's go to chapter 5 here. Wowzers. We're in chapter 5. Yes. verse 12 says, through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Well, Babylon's, you know, clearly seems to be kind of like a code word here, because Babylon's wiped off the map, right? So how is it that as Peter's closing out the letter, he says, she who's in Babylon, right, sends you greetings. Near as I can tell, two cities in the Old Testament and New Testament that have been and can be contributed with the title of Babylon. Let's first understand this term, Babylon. What is Babylon? So Babylon's representative here, correct? Like that wasn't the answer to my question. Babylon, okay. He wasn't in Babylon, right? Babylon's been defeated. So it's this code word. It's representative. So what does Babylon represent in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament? Someone? Sin? Okay. Power, world power. We're getting closer. Yeah. Kendall? Yeah, opposition to God's people? Absolutely. If you guys turn on over to Revelation, let's go chapter 18. If we could for a moment, Kendall, you said opposition to the saints? Okay. Well, if we could peek over to Revelation chapter 17 quickly here. I want us to be in 18, for a moment here, in line with Kendall's comment, can we look over at chapter 8, 17? Sorry, for me, it's just a glance over to the other page, okay? So we've got this judgment of the coming harlot being described here, okay? And you see in verse 5, on her name is written, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. So that already tells you what Babylon represents, okay? Because that's her name. Now, in verse 6, it says, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. Okay, so Kendall's accurate when he says that that Babylon does represent, okay, hostility towards God's people. All right? Now, this is all over the book of Revelation, but if you jump on over to chapter 18, okay, in verse 2, you see the angel cries with a mighty voice and says, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Okay. She has become the dwelling place of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, the prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Now jump down here. Okay. In verse 7, here's an explanation of Babylon. To the degree that she has glorified herself and lived sensually, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, and I will never see mourning. That's the attitude of Babylon. And that is what Babylon in the Old and New Testament represents. Complete worldliness. The exact opposite of what God would want. If you notice here in verse 7, though, the words, I sit as queen, are capitalized. That's actually a quote from the book of Isaiah. I want us to go back there and look at it. Isaiah chapter 47, and then, Rain, if you still have a comment, I'll come your way. Isaiah chapter 47 is the prophecy of the coming destruction of Babylon. Okay. So Babylon has not fallen when this is being written. This is God's words as he's looking to the fall of Babylon. Okay, and then once Babylon falls, the references that we're seeing in 1 Peter and in Revelation are referring back to it as a representation. Okay, so we see that Babylon represents worldliness, okay, in all senses. And that would be sin, which was said. That would be to thwart God's plan or his people. All of that would be included in that. This is where the book of Revelation quotes as it's defining the arrogant spirit of Babylon. In Isaiah chapter 47, verse 7, says, yet you said, remember this is in reference to Babylon, I will be queen forever. These things you did not consider, nor remember the outcome of them. Now this, hear this, you sensual one who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, and there's no one beside me. And I will not sit as a widow, nor know loss of children. Okay, that's the arrogant spirit of the kingdom of Babylon. Okay, and it's interesting because I am, and there's no one beside me. Who else says that in the Old Testament? The Lord God. Okay, so it takes a very haughty and arrogant spirit to claim these words, and that's what Babylon did. And so that's the representation. Rain, you still got a comment here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So in Luke 13 and 34 through 35, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I said to you, you will not see me until a time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There's the two different cities there. You got the physical Jerusalem, the heart of where Christianity started, and the heart of where the Old Testament ended. And so they're a contrast to one another. And we know the true Jerusalem is the heavenly one. And so that's that strong contrast between the two.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a really timely comment, Rain, because now that I've laid it out and kind of shown some of the verses, we do want to find ourselves back here in 1 Peter chapter 5. I would say confidently that we cannot narrow down exactly where Peter was when he wrote this from the scripture. I think history would tell us that he was in Rome in his latter days, okay, and that he was crucified upside down in Rome. What I wanted to show us here is that's what Babylon represents, complete worldliness, taking the place of God, and then, you know, immorality, sensuality, as Revelation said, living in complete sensuality, and then hostility towards God's people. There are two cities that match that description. Okay, I would say that Jerusalem's one of them. Any ideas what the other one could be? I've said it. Rome. Okay, so when we go back to chapter 1, because the thing I've always found somewhat mildly interesting here is where are these places that Peter's writing to? Right? Pontus, Bithynia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia. Where are those places geographically? If I asked you guys to picture modern-day Turkey on a map above the Mediterranean Sea, could you do that? Turkey has a somewhat familiar shape. When you think of countries, Turkey is just kind of like an egg laying on its side, right? To a degree. These regions fill what is modern-day Turkey, okay? Now, what I find mildly interesting is I'm in the New Testament. I don't see the Spirit recording for us a lot of interaction between Peter and people who lived in these areas. You really don't see it. You see Peter in Jerusalem quite a bit, where he primarily stays. Okay? there could be a case made that maybe he was the elder in the church in Rome in the last days. Okay? Or, yeah. But you don't see a lot of interaction in the scriptures between Peter and the people who live in these regions. But it's who he's writing to, right? So, two cities that kind of match this description in the scripture, that would be Rome and Jerusalem. I don't think you can say for sure, but I would lean towards Rome myself just because of who the letter is written to. These are all Roman colonies. These are all Roman colonies with Roman citizens, and these are the people that Peter's writing to. It would make more sense to me then that would be where he would be in a more of a Gentile Roman place, being in Rome, writing to those regions. So what I wanted to make sure just to leave with you is if you read chapter 5 and it says, you know, she who is in Babylon, that can be difficult to understand. So I wanted to make sure that we first unpackage that. Okay? Any other comments on that? Or any questions? Kevin's saving it for later. All right. Now, back to who were the original recipients. Yes, they were scattered in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But what does he call them? Aliens. All right. So the first question is, why refer to them as aliens? Not a trick question, but worth talking about here a little bit this morning. Why refer to them as aliens scattered in foreign lands? Why? Oops. Yeah, okay, was that Raj? We're in this world, but not of this world. That's definitely one of those verses I had written down. We're going to be fairly familiar with some of these verses here this morning, but I do want to hit them. It's always a great reminder. Philippians chapter 3. Still to this day, one of the better messages I've heard was a message that Schaefer preached on Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, on being citizens of the kingdom. And so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So yeah, maybe many of us have understood. We're citizens of heaven. We've got new passports. We have been brought into a new nation. And even though we're in America, we are ambassadors here in America, would be a good word Corinthians would use, right? This isn't our home, but we're in America. but we are actually representing the needs and desires and wants of our King from the kingdom from which we really reside, which is heaven. So we are His representatives here. We are the Lord's ambassadors in America. And I think a lot of us understand that. But what I really took, which I was really grateful from the message that Schaefer preached, was when you're a citizen of a country, you have responsibilities to that country. It's November. I'll admit this because it's the first time it's ever happened to me, but the mail pile went from this to this for the first time in my life. Happens, you know. You leave the country for the weekend, you get busy the week before that, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of mail on the counter, you know. You're like, oh, okay, yeah. And I get in that, and look, I quit the writing checks to pay the MDU bill like 30 years ago. I can't do that, okay? I just hand them my account number, and they just take the $50 every month, and I'm happy with that. So when I get a lot of bills in the mail, I know they're already paid, okay? That's how my brain survives. That's how I can handle it. It works for me. It's never worked against me. Okay? So every once in a while, there's some bills sitting there, and I'm like, well, that's just telling me I already paid it because it's been on auto draft for 10 years. Okay? So I got a little lackadaisical. It's November, right? Everybody love checking their mail in November? So I get halfway through the pile, and there's the property taxes. Due tomorrow, you know. Yeah, good thing you can pay online. They are really nice. You know, if you post, you know, if you write a check, they'll go by the date that you write on the check. But I was like, oh, wow. So we love checking our mail in November because I got mine significantly more than they were the year before, right? Whoo, that one. That was tough. I got to tell you, for the 3 years I've been a 3 or 4 years I've been a homeowner, this is the first time I've paid the first installment and just not paid both of them at the same time. It was just, that was huge, because you can pay in November and you can pay in May. I've always just paid both installments in November just so I don't have to worry about it. And I was like, whoa, like property taxes really skied. Do I get to get out of not paying those? Because I'm a citizen. Right? It's like, you know, and it kind of came up to a degree in this morning in the Bible question. You know, Kendall's saying, you know, by our conduct, right, the world should know that their behavior is wrong, right? What do most people do in the world when everybody around them is doing wrong? Well, most people just bury their head in the sand and say, just make sure you don't teach my kids this stuff. But there's a time, and probably here, and as has passed, where the church has to be saying, hey, not only are we not going to do this, but that's wrong. That's wrong. And honestly, as a citizen of this country, the best way to do that is to fill out that ballot and to vote. Right? You're a citizen. Citizens don't get to bury their head in the sand. We have responsibilities to our country, right? Okay, all right. Now, maybe you forgot to vote or haven't voted. you figure that out. That's not my point. I can't even tell you how much it was. I got a bill in the mail that I got to pay, because if not, people come looking for me, right? Or start charging me exorbitant amounts of interest until I do pay it, right? It's called 10%. So I've got a responsibility. Now, Philippians 3 says our citizenship is in heaven. Do you think for a second that that might mean you have responsibilities to that kingdom? Absolutely. I mean, and then Hebrews just jumps in my head. Stimulate one another, right? Consider one another. Stimulate one another. Ephesians, encourage one another, right? All these to love and good deeds, right? We can't come in here with our head buried. Come on in, let's say even on a Lord's Day, consume, 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 get what we need, get that spiritual filling, right? And then turn back around and then have nothing to offer anyone else. That's not how it works, right? So when he's communicating to the aliens who reside in these areas that are scattered, there is a reminder there, like Raj said, that you're in this world, but you're not of it. And that doesn't mean, yeah, work's going to be a little uncomfortable because a lot of the people you work with might not be Christians, although that's it. But it's so much more than that. Your citizenship is in heaven, right? So not only are we not of this world, but we are ambassadors, and we are supposed to be living representations of what God wants on this earth. Right? So just try to give us some examples there. Gone are the days of the church just burying their head in the sand and saying, hey, well, you guys can do wild, crazy stuff with your family as long as you don't teach it to my kids. Now we got to be like, hey, we're not going to do that. And that's wrong, because people are being hurt, particularly little kids are being hurt, right? And so in 1 Peter 4 there, which we'll look at, okay, the church is, and in chapter 2, primarily, the church's role is to shine a light on those things so that the world would be convicted. So that the world would be convicted. So, get a little ahead of myself. Aliens, we know on this topic, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I am so thankful for that. Okay. Tremendous amounts of blessings in that. You know, we, even from an earthly perspective, being Americans, we are tremendously blessed, yes? I mean, it's a huge blessing. I mean, you know, it's something like if you're in the lower middle class in America, you're the top 1% earners worldwide. And that just shows you how poor the world is, you know, worldwide. We are tremendously blessed. You know, Monday mornings in school, kids don't like mornings so much, which I don't know if that really ever changes. I think just, you know, as we get older, our bodies just won't sleep anymore. So then we're forced to get up. But, man, Monday mornings, say, hey, morning, how's everyone doing? And they're like, which I don't mind the tired looks. It's the grumpy, I don't want to be here looks. And I'm like, come on, guys, you know, lighten up a little bit. But I'm like, you guys slept on a cushioned mattress with however many blankets you could want to stay the perfect temperature at night, likely with a fluffy, comfortable pillow. And as soon as it starts to flatten, we just go get new pillows. Because we're Americans. You got in a car, maybe even parked in a garage, that generated heat. So you wouldn't even be cold for the 10-minute ride to school. Right? And then you get here, the building, okay, because I've worked with the people who have set our digital thermostats preheated to your perfect temperature. Oh, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. In the winters, when temperatures finally hit that 30-degree range, I have to have this building set at 70 degrees. If I try to set it at 69, I will have two or three people at my desk complaining it's cold. 1 degree. Okay? And that's just something maybe as a side note is maybe a warning for us as parents, right? Our basketball team, because Justin and I have been working with the Knights organization, because we've got a bunch of church kids that play in the league, went to a tournament this weekend out at the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch. Are you guys familiar with that? Okay. Now, when I was a kid and I was in school, the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch had a basketball team. Okay. Now, they weren't allowed to leave the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch. Okay. So we would go out and we would play them, you know. And it was always a great experience. Okay. So we go out to a tournament that the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch is hosting, and they don't have a team in the tournament. And I'm like, wait, what's going on here? Okay. So I start, you know, poking around. I'm like, hey, what, why doesn't the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch have a team in the tournament that you're hosting? And they said, the coach can't field a team. And I'm thinking, okay, there's not enough kids. They said, oh, we got plenty of kids. They said, they can't get them to run. They won't put on gym shorts, and they won't run up and down the court. Now, I was out there when, 1998? So, from 1998 till now, what, 20 years? They had a team, okay? And in 20 years, kids are so lazy. They refuse to exercise. Refuse. I couldn't believe that. You know, I went and watched some football games this summer, and one of the football players told me, they said, because I knew this person, and they said, I was in complete shock, Nolan. First day of practice, I don't know if you guys know anything about football, but the quarterback throws the ball to the people who catch it, and so the people who catch it have to run and catch it. And then after the play was done, coach is like, hustle back, hustle back, hustle back. And the kids go. Fifteen-year-olds in this town, and we live in a fairly conservative state. Fairly. Okay. So just as a warning, you know, just as a warning, like that's the world, right? And we're the aliens that are in the world, and we're like, we don't want that creeping, that attitude, you know, creeping into our homes and infecting, you know, our kids, right? So just made me think of that. I'm telling you, we got it pretty good as Americans, huh? And I'm not exaggerating. If this building is 69 degrees, I will have kids breaking school uniform policy just to wear a jacket because they're that cold. I'm like, and they have school approved, you know, stuff that they can wear to stay warm. They just don't want to wear it. It's scratchy and it's itchy, you know. So, you know, we're very blessed. And so I try to remind these kids in the morning, boy, you are under a nice comfy pillow, blanket, got a vehicle that warmed you the whole way you're here. We showed up here today, building's preheated exactly, you know, keep us nice and warm. We got it pretty good. And guess what? How does that rank to being citizens of the kingdom of heaven? And how often, myself included, you guys, this last week, this last month, did we stop and think how privileged we are to be citizens of God's kingdom? I think I forget. How about you? I wake up this morning, don't feel so good. Kids are being loud. I'm trying to sleep in. You know, they're up at whatever, 6. I have not felt good for days. And I've been on a steady diet of Tylenol and ibuprofen, just switching back and forth, you know? And I wake up and the negative thoughts start creeping in, huh? I'm tired. This morning's going to be tough. It's going to be a push, right? A lot's going to be required out of me. I don't know if I've got the energy. And I'm like 15 seconds into this negative thought spiral. And I'm just like, hey, wait a second. Today's going to be great. And they're powerful in mindset, isn't there? Today's going to be great. And whatever happens is going to be whatever happens. All I can control is my attitude. That's it. That's all I can control is my attitude in my mindset. But just as it relates to what we're talking about here as far as aliens, what could an attitude of gratefulness and a recognition for the position that you have as a resident in the kingdom of heaven, and what that could do for your perspective while you're an ambassador down here on earth? Right? I don't know about you guys. I walk into another country and I see things that are challenging and not fun. It's easy to leave and go back home, isn't it? Okay? Not that you wouldn't want to help them or you wouldn't. You see what I'm saying? We've got to look at this earth as it needs our help while we're here, but we're out of here. Like, we are out of here. This is not our home. So when it gets tough and it's not going, that's not a reflection of us. That's a reflection of Babylon. That is the condition of Babylon. Okay? Our job as the salt, light, and representatives and ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven is to do what we can to help people get out of being citizens of Babylon, the harlot and sensuality, and getting them into the kingdom of our beloved son, like Colossians says. Okay? So really appreciate that mindset. Peter, not exactly sure how much interaction he has with the recipients of this letter. I don't see it in the New Testament, right? And right out of the gate, he's reminding them, you're in this world, but you're not of it. And he's doing it by calling them aliens. Any other thoughts or comments on any of that? It's okay that you have a mattress and a pillow and a blanket. It's okay. Wasn't my goal to make anybody feel bad. But we've got to be appreciative, right? I have those same things too. I'm not saying, yeah, you should sleep with one less blanket tonight so you'll be a little more appreciative, right? Hey, we can be appreciative just by a switch up in our mindset. We don't have to withhold things from ourselves, okay? All right, no other thoughts on any of that? All right. Let's talk overall theme as we wrap up here. An introduction into overall themes, and then we'll start to break this stuff down into specifics next week. Chapter 4. Any takers out there? Overall theme? When you read 1 Peter, overall themes? What do you got, Kevin?
Just remain faithful through suffering.
Remain faithful through suffering. Well said. Maybe in some different words, but that's exactly what I would have said as well. Remaining faithful through suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Okay. That, you know how you, as a Christian, you run into verses every once in a while that are a little more difficult to swallow than the other ones, you know? Love your neighbor. No problem, God. You know, then maybe when you have to be forgiving, but for the most part, we're all on board, right? Gotta love your neighbor. This one a little more difficult. Don't be surprised. It's like, I always catch myself being surprised. Ah, why is this happening? He told you not to be surprised. Okay. It's gonna come. Why does it come, brethren? I'd say two reasons, but God allows the one to fulfill the other. Why? Why does it come? Anybody can say they have faith, right? Until it's tested, right? For our faith to be a true faith, it must be tested, all right? The other reason why the trials come is because the world hates you. But God allows that to happen because that's usually a lot of source of the trials. And then he allows them to come in order to refine your faith. Okay? And chapter 1 makes that point. But that's the message this morning. So we'll stop there. But yeah, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes among you. Okay, it's gonna come, and it's because the world hates you. That's what Jesus said. Anybody who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul to Timothy, said will be persecuted. Okay, I guess as a closing thought, and we'll unpackage the major theme here more next week, and then dive into some other things we can take from 1 Peter. I think we've all recognized this. It's just been more on the forefront of my mind lately. I mean, do you guys really notice how persecuted Christianity is in the world? Of course you do, right? But have you noticed how much the other religions just aren't? Okay, so you guys have seen that, and so have I. But man, recently, I don't know, that it's just been in my face. Don't have the details because it was too many years ago, but this individual put a post on, nobody we know, put a post on Facebook, and it had a reference to Jesus Christ on it. It was it was actually an emblem or a logo, so to speak, and that's what I couldn't remember for. If it was for a business or if it was for some sort of education platform, that I don't remember, but they posted this logo on the internet, and it had Jesus Christ on it, and things attributing to Christianity. And back when we were being heavily censored, like that ever stopped. But remember when the fact checkers were just like everywhere, and they were just, I mean, those didn't go away. They just don't pop up like they used to anymore, okay? But back in those days when it was like everything was like, if it even says COVID-19, it just got taken down, right? It got flagged and it got taken down. And if, I don't know, because it had to do with Jesus Christ. This individual took the exact same logo, put Jesus Christ out and put Muhammad on it and then reposted it. Guess what? Not flagged. Exact same message, you know, love your neighbor kind of stuff. I just don't remember the exact details, but this is what the emblem was meant to do. Okay, same thing, same image, same messaging, different name, not flagged. Okay, major theme of 1 Peter: remaining faithful through trials and adversity. Okay, we're fresh off of James. This is no big deal for us. In need of a great reminder. Hey, it's Christianity that's under attack, and the reason why is because Jesus is the only way to God, okay? And Satan knows that, and so that's why it's under direct attack. So appreciate your attention this morning. We'll break.